I'll start with citing the beginning of Inferno of Dante Alighieri, as a Divine Comedy, which says, nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai in una selva oscura che la retta via aveva smarrita. Which says, in the half or the midway of the path, the walkway of my life, I found myself lost in a dark forest because the right way I've lost. And interestingly, the only way to go to heaven, he had to go through hell first. So I'm going to talk a little bit why I'm saying that. And so I would do a flashback. No, I go back when I was a kid. I was young, and I always had three things in my mind that was inspiring me and like guiding me. One was magic. It was like looking around me and looking and seeing magic in whatever is around me, whatever that means. And I, since then, I'm always trying to seek for that. What, when, and where, and how to find that? Where was that? And to understand magic, the second thing was science. So the toys that I was asking when I was 6 years old was the little microscope or the little chemist, things like that. And the third was martial arts, something that I was always been attracted and something that was defining who I was, who I wanted to be. Somehow it was like I was drawn by that. And the first experience that I had about all this together somehow was a bit of that. I tried to share this with you today. I never did that before, which is this. I mean, the stone is from out here. It's not that I'm walking with that since I'm a kid, but but I remember I had the stone in my hand, and I was looking at that, and I said, oh, I can see this, and it's, what is this? So what is this? I have no idea, but exists. It's heavy, and I can see it, so there is light. So what is light? And a second, there is mass. What is this? And suddenly I had a small insight, and I said, this is magic. The fact that this is here, and it's not only that, but the most deep insight that I had, that I had the impression that I'm surrounded by the sacred presence of reality, is this. It moved. It is gravity, and we have no idea what this is. So there is something that exists. Thank you. And, you know, the fact that there is force and movement and transformations around us, that's magic. And science describes this, physics describe this, but we have no idea what it is. And so I decided to become a scientist. And more interestingly, I understand that this is something, and we are made of this. We are made of stardust. We are generated in something that we don't know, but we are a stone. We are matter that is conscious. We are conscious matter. Life is conscious matter. And it is magic. So I decided to understand better and try to find this into my life. And so what I followed is pursued like the search of magic in many ways, and the search of the sacred part of life and God itself, and through understanding. And as a tool, try to kind of be myself in what I found to be, like martial arts, a very important aspect of my life. I'm telling a little bit more about both. I talk less about what science is. I just, you know, briefly, I did my studies and I became a scientist, and now that's my job. But I see into that as a kind of a part of my search, and part of what I'm exploring and looking on is this magic. You know? But going back to instead martial arts, so I started to follow that since I was very young, and that's what was my first encounter with Zen and Buddhism somehow. After starting with doing judo and jiu-jitsu, the Japanese martial arts, when I was a bit older, around 14, I joined a dojo where we were practicing Ninpo and Bushido. Is Bushido the way of the Bushi, the martial way, the warriorship? In particular, was a dojo that was following the Ninpo movies, made this more famous as ninjas, but in reality, Ninpos come from the Yama Bushido, the way of the sacred monk warrior of the mountains, Yama. And that says simply is coming from the China. And as the root into Buddhism and into Taoism. That's where I learned the importance of sit and find yourself. And just to share some of the words of one of the actual still living great master of Ninpo, that was one of my guiding line, is that he's saying something like that. Because the Yamabushi or ninja is dealing freely with the concepts of truth and falsehood. Fluidly bending one into the other, he must be well grounded in his own concept of reality. To prevent becoming lost, misguided, or swallowed up by his own deception or awareness altering, the Yamabushi must maintain seishin or purity of heart. In this way, he carries the truth in his heart. Though he may appear in many psychological guises to others, his intentions remain resolute. Though others may have no idea what those commitments entail, because he's totally honest with himself at all levels of introspection, he can venture into the realm of falsehood and untruth without defiling himself or his spirit. He can willingly plunge into the cold darkness, knowing full well what he has the power to create, his own light from the brightness he carries in his heart. But the risk is to becoming lost. And that's again learning to face in yourself, to face in your own fear, and that's by sitting, by, you know, not running away from you. That brings to try to find the truth of yourself, to try to find the truth of from what is outside. And you find a lot of contrast, and you find a lot of opposites, dualities. And so in my search, that was helping me in what was trying to hold me, giving me strength in my search of putting myself always into discussion, I found secret searches important for me before coming into practicing Zen as I was doing, as I'm doing now, as I was doing when I was starting doing martial arts. Was I kind of lost this over my time, and I tried other searches, other ways. One that it became very important to me is alchemy. And the traditional Western and Asian alchemies that are the same, Taoism has the root into that. And that's what I found, again, connection with what I was originally doing with the Ninpo. Alchemy says something like that. One of its major principles is to unify the opposites. When the Red King and the White King are joined in the spiritual marriage, the child of light is born. Spiritually, the wedding of body, soul, and spirit are accomplished. The body and spirit are fused together through the soul, which acts not only as a catalyst, but also as a vessel, as a place where the act occurs. Paradox is a name given to the union of opposites. To accomplish the great work, the different workers learn to move beyond paradox through paradoxical thinking and step up the spiral staircase to where the child of light blossom from the lotus flower. So just to mention one of the earliest and the Renaissance alchemic manuscripts. So that was resonating to me for what I was doing initially, with the search of myself and with the search into nature. Alchemy is about understanding and searching nature. It's considered a sacred science, and so it was fitting well with my quest to becoming a scientist. So that was during my teenage years, and where I kept growing into what I wanted to become. I had a vision of myself. I envisioned who I wanted to be. and so far, so good. It went well. I became, with struggles, but I became who I wanted to be. And I had not much doubts about myself, which was, I think, not good. I thought that I knew where I wanted to go, and I kind of accomplished that. But once I reached that, I realized that I started to drift a little bit, because I was not maintaining my place into myself. So in the meanwhile, I graduated. I opened my martial arts academy in Italy, and I started to work as a scientist, and I got married. Everything seems to be great. And I came here in US. I've been called at Stanford, where probably my ambition, I lost a little bit the purity of heart that I learned at the beginning. So I started to put all my intention and growing. So what's happening in this Western, peculiar Western path? The warriorship path is a bit like related to the path of hero. It's a hero journey. It's like the quest of the Sacred Graal. And in the meanwhile, I moved from Asian martial arts to discovering the Western martial arts, European, Italian martial arts. It's basically related to the code of knights, the use of swordsmanship. And there is a Western tradition connected to alchemy, to Western philosophies, and to a peculiarly Western philosophy of the search and spirituality. So I had my code, and I thought everything was fine. But that, you know, in the trying to becoming a hero, you grow a lot of the ego as well. And that's mythology tell us. All the heroes found themselves down into the darkness at a certain point. They face themselves. The biggest challenge is themselves. Before being able to get rid of that part and becoming really to in serving the others, before serving others, the you know becoming what they wanted to be often has to face into this big growth of the ego. That's what happened to me working at Stanford. I you know slowly didn't have time to practice my martial arts, meditation, and the spiritual practice, alchemy, and my ego grow. And things started to drift. I felt stuck, and I found myself. So my marriage fell apart, and we separated. And I went through my personal hell, and I had to reconnect with myself. So into that, I found strength again into finding again my nature. Which what I learned is in the warriorship or in the sacred warriorship is also considered like a mage and a monk, someone who walks and is trying to be honest with himself. And I like the words of Trungpa, he talks about, you know, worship as one of the Tibetan Buddhism. He's saying that the way that he's using words that are very close to the one used in alchemy is like saying placing the moon into your heart, and that to develop kindness and to develop compassion. And placing the sun into your head is to develop a father intellect or a prajna. And that's what kind of I started to search back into myself and reconnected, and I found in Zen the tool that I forgot when I lost myself, and I started to come here, finding this place of peace where I started to question myself again and remember who I was and what was important to me, reconnecting. And I found the Sangha was a place where I found, you know, friendship, love, and compassion, and new friends, new people around me, partner, and people that are walking with me in my journey, and putting the parts together again. And I realized that was great. It was great because putting myself into questions was able to destroy that image that I had that was everything was perfect. And potentially it could just be the way it was, just perfect, but was not a real perfect. So I like, you know, the Zen and the way I learned this since the beginning. In Japan, is strongly related to the Bushido, samurais or ninjas. They used to follow that, and it's still connected to that. And for example, I like the words of Suzuki Roshi in the sense of Zen. He says that the peace of poverty and simplicity is obtained after a fierce battle, fought with the entire strength of your personality. The battle must rage in its full vigor and masculinity. But I think it's also femininity. I'm not just reading. Without it, whatever peace is obtained whatever peace is obtained is a simulacrum, and it has no deep foundation. The first it may encounter will crush it to the ground. Zen is quite empathic in this. Certainly the moral virility to be found in Zen, apart from its mystic flight, comes from the fighting of the battle of life courageously and undauntedly. And that resonates to me. That's what I learned to do initially, and again, sitting down, it's what I find important. And I started again, this sitting and facing yourself and opening to this compassion, this feeling, and this capacity to see, to intellect, prajna, and falling and standing and falling is again what you learn in a fight. It's a dynamic meditation. It's not different when you sit and you fight with yourself. And you let go, and you leave the present moment. That's what I learned when you practice martial arts, and where you have to be present. You cannot think, "Oh, I got a slap on my face." And if you think about the past, if you stuck to that, you're going to get the second one. And if you're afraid of the second one, you're going to get the third one. But what you can do is just being there, present. Then you learn. It's a very nice lesson because you cannot lie to yourself and to your opponent. And I like, again, to quote the words of Trungpa. He's saying, according to some traditional Chinese Buddhism sources, monks in monasteries practice martial arts. But not in order to challenge, kill, or destroy other people. Rather, they use these martial arts to learn to control their minds and to develop a balanced way of dealing with situations without involving oneself in hatred and the panic of ego. When one practices the martial arts, one appears to be engaged in aggressive activities. Nevertheless, one is not fundamentally being aggressive from the point of view of generating or acting out of hatred. The true practice of the martial arts is a question of developing a state in which one is fully confident, fully knowing what one is and what one is trying to do. What is necessary is to learn to understand the other side of any situation, to make friends with the opponent and the opponent of yourself, I'm adding, or the problem, in order to see the opponent clearly and to understand what move is going to make next. So in a way, that's how I also follow and combine and see how that is a way to actively meditating and work with yourself. And a little bit that's how I came up here. Keep walking on my path and things changing life. But when something happens that puts you into doubt, it's good because then you can look in yourself, accepting it and learn to become a better person. And you will find new opportunities and new people that will walk with you in your journey. And so that's why now I'm sitting here trying to talk about that. I want to conclude in a way that someone asked me to show a little bit what I mean. I will show. I decided to show you how is the use of a sword, one of the practice that they do, and I teach that. And that's, you know, it's an extension of yourself, an extension of your mind. Raimondo Lullo was an alchemist and a knight and a monk in the 13th centuries in Italy. He described the sword as an extension of the soul and in the mind. It's sharp to cut the truth and find it to cut the falsehood and shines your light. At the same time, on the other side is a cross of the four elements, a cross where you can find the center and pray. And so it's both the unifying the opposites. So I'm going to show a little bit of that, but before, maybe I'd like to take questions. So, if you have any. If you understood my English, of course.
First, let me congratulate you. I've always thought someone would eventually do a Dharma talk out of a tablet, but you're the first one, I think, to do it, bringing your scientific mind in. I also thought it was interesting. John's not here because he's cooking, but he also quoted that very same passage from Dante. This idea that we have to go through some kind of turmoil. I don't know if you must, but it does almost seem inevitable that no one comes here without having first encountered something that makes them question their life in a very deep way. Sometimes you can arrive at it just by questioning. Just your questioning will lead you to be filled with some extreme doubt that you then desperately seek for an answer. And then every time it's just personal tragedy as well. I'm appreciating your talk and looking forward to your sword demonstration.
Mil grazie.
Fair enough. Good evening. Thank you.
That's the Scottish version. Did your parents have any kind of religion? And what did they think about all your magic and alchemy?
Yeah, I've been raised as Christian, and they are Christians, but they always supported me in finding my way, finding my own truth, and I never felt Christianity really fitting to me. It was something, you know, probably the dogma. I'm not saying the message is good, you know, and it's inspiring also to me, but the structure and the church itself was not fitting to me, but they let me do this, and they always supported me in my search, you know. And now they just roll their eyes, you know, I'm probably a little bit extravagant, and whatever I do now, it's okay. But I did weird things, you know, in my search. I didn't mention I did shamanism, and you know, I always searched, and so they learned to accept me for that. They supported me, and they trusted my master in the dojo, which is also a zendo, a place for meditation, and with a house of the way, and he was also kind of a second father to me. So his spirituality influenced myself, like my parents did. But yeah, I was lucky from this point of view.
When I say hello, I'm wondering how you hold the sense of that sort of courage to confront difficult aspects in yourself, and so that sense of being a warrior in that way, and also self-compassion.
I think so. Warrior is not about violence. It's about being brave to face fears, and be, you know, trying to be honest with yourself, and so you can be with others, and having a code and discipline to follow that. And so then that you can become inside and physically also stronger and stronger, so you can stand for other people. In a way, so is to develop a sweetheart. It's not like living the moment. You really learn that in the middle of the battle, you learn how to cry because there is a butterfly, beautifully, and that moment comes now. Then there is a sword of your opponent that may kill you, but that's different, and that's another moment, and it's different. So you learn for whatever happens. I mean, you try to learn that whatever happens is you stand and you face as best as you can that, trying not to run away, and so not to run away from escaping from yourself, from other people. So you try to, and so it's a way of action mostly. It's taking action, and not, you know, try to overcome laziness or overcome discomfort or avoid confrontation with other people and with yourself. And that's what you learn in the conflict. It's mostly fighting with yourself. And that's why you think when you train, when you do have a sparring partner, and you can train hard, it can be hard discipline. Actually, the Zen in the Bushido is very hard. You know, the master can come with a stick, and when you say no, you practice, you're exhausted, and you sit, and you have just to sit. And you move, and you just thump in his laps with a stick, and they say, no, but it's for you. It's you are fighting with yourself. And this opens you, breaks you, and opens you, because then, you start to see yourself, and you accept weaknesses, and you see weaknesses in other people. You see how it doesn't make sense, the conflict, and you see how you may stand for this or help other people to avoid those. So all this is just shaping you and your character, your personality. So in that sense, it's not about violence at all. It's not that. Actually, it's like it's strange. In my experience, it's like sitting for when someone starts. It's just, what do I have to do? Just sit and stay there, see what happens. And things start to happen. And in the martial arts practice, you start to get this mindful approach and start to stand, and you start to act different in your life. From what you're running away, now you start to, you know, deal with the pain, you do it. And that makes you more compassionate at the real end. I don't know if I answered to your question, but I tried.
From knowing you, I know that your interest in alchemy and in transformation itself is connected to your scientific work. Could you share a little bit about what you do in your research?
Sure. Yeah, so I study stem cells and regenerative medicine, which means I have a group at Stanford, I have a team of research that I'm leading. Our goal is to regrow part of the bodies, regenerate, and also it's a strategy of anti-aging or regeneration of bodies where there is an injury. We literally take cells, stem cells, and material, biomaterials, shaping them in a way that they will regrow part of the bodies. And we also 3D print them and then transplant into the tissue to regrow. To me, this is a lot of what I'm doing comes from inspirations of my alchemic search. Looking into transformation, looking into what connects a stone to a conscious matter, like a living life, and one to the other, how you can transmute, which is different from transformation, something into another. Which the overall deep message is that matter is, so the concept of alchemy is to spiritualize the matter and to materialize the spirit in the process of continuous transformation. And so in my job, I try to spiritualize the matter in putting a vision that is beyond the mere understanding, but try to be inspired, try to be followed into expression and manifestation of secrecy. And life tells me, is teaching me how nature, you know, express itself, how reality is all interconnected, and you know, from the initial energy into the world, energy and chaos collapsed into more dense atomic, subatomic, atomic structure molecules, and then organic material, cells into more organized cells, and so into neural networks and brains, and then more and more conscious beings, and which are now making a higher level of consciousness by interconnecting each other. You know, human societies is, the internet itself is nothing but the expansion of the way our mind works and so on. And life got this as a path. And so it's telling me, it's teaching me and guiding me, and alchemy with its allegory, with a paradox that is inspire and guides me also in my search, in my job, and in my spiritual search. That's how I see the connections between the two things. Which sometimes is hard, you know. When I was even younger, I had troubles in combining the two things together. Sometimes people say, you're not doing science, you're doing art, which is unacceptable in science. And so I had to learn to be a rigorous science and still give my spin into that, my flavor. And I'm still trying. So.
In your martial arts training, you said that falling down is real important.
Yes.
And could you talk about that a little bit? Because there are a lot of ways to fall down, and you've gone through a lot of different martial arts. So there must be a lot of ways to fall. And knowing how to fall is pretty important. And I find myself falling off my seat frequently, even in Zazen.
Yes. Yes. I think that's something that one of the very first thing that I learned in martial arts is to fall. So that's my master, and I learned to teach this to kids. When I teach to kids, the very first thing is to learn to do the falling, how to break a fall. And that's a lot about fears, a lot. We forget about, you know, how to use the body, and we are not aware sometimes that we walk around and we think that we live here, you know, but there is entire body, and we're up there from the ground, and we forget. And you know, sometimes you see people, oh, I broke an arm, what happened? Oh, I fell. So what do you mean? How can you break an arm walking and falling from your own height? I mean, it's a concept is doesn't make sense, because you should be able to to be very comfortable in any, you know, position of your body. But we forget that. So we learn to walk around scared by our own body and position. This perception already makes us continually scared of where we are. And we need to sit, we need to put down the hands. But in reality, no, a baby doesn't do that. No? And learning to fall is overcoming this fear and accepting the fact that your perception changes, that someone can put you down, and that situation will change quickly. And then you can stand up, do it again, and fall again, and you keep going on. I think it's a very important lesson in martial art, and actually it's the base, because without learning that, you can't even practice, because you can't have someone put you down, because otherwise you injure yourself. So that's an important thing that you said. And actually, so I'm going to show you also how to fall, since you ask. Maybe there is a bell.